This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Friday. We are back. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. So excited to be chatting with you guys today. Thank you so much for making the Pack-A-Day Radio Show part of your daily routine. Reminder, we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. I will be joining them on that very first segment today. Talk a little bit of Packers, Seahawks, and whatever else Thunder's got on his mind. Mitch has always got something cooking in his mind. You never know what's going to come up, and I'm excited to talk with Mitch and Mason in that first segment today. But right now, we are going to talk to the one and only Kyle Malzahn, sports anchor reporter for WFRV-TV right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You can find him on social media at Kyle Malzahn. Kyle, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Andy, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, and happy game week, my man.
Yeah, happy game week. There's only four of these left in the regular season, which seems absolutely crazy to say. I'm really excited for this one. I think this has the ability to be a really fun game. I think one of the more underrated games of the season, and I think one of the best games of this week's NFL calendar. Before we get to Packers-Seahawks, though, we open today with the entire Devondre Campbell situation that happened last night. He quits in the third quarter. Obviously had some at least one really great season in Green Bay. Hasn't quite been the same since then, but your thoughts on the entire situation that happened with Devondre Campbell last night?
Yeah, it was crazy. I've never seen something like it. And I think one thing that we've come to know and learn is when a disgruntled player leaves Titletown, it turns out to be much more about the player than it is the Packers organization. I get it. It's a cutthroat league. The Packers have operated, I'd say, as one of the, if not the model organization in the league for quite some time now, for the last few decades. But Devondre Campbell, look, like you said, one great year, and then things kind of went sour. He thought he had a refreshing start in San Francisco, and then last night's antics happened where he just quits on his team mid-game. And you start to kind of wonder if it was more the player than the Packers not putting him in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, I think that at this point it seems, you know, kind of clear. Just Devondre's not had, you know, outside of really Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay has been the best stretch of his career. I mean, by far, it's not even close. I mean, San Francisco has not worked out. Atlanta did not work out. Arizona did not work out. Had a great year in Green Bay. Had an okay year in Green Bay the following year. Then it didn't work in his third year there either. It's been Green Bay or bust, basically, for him, and it has not worked anywhere else. And it's just funny that his comments kind of post-Green Bay were that, you know, he was ready for something new, that maybe Green Bay wasn't using him the right way. Well, you know what? It seems like Green Bay used you better than literally any other team has, because that was your only success in the NFL. That's enough about Devondre Campbell for one day, though. All right, let's talk about this Packers team, more specifically this Packers injury report to begin things. It seems like everything is, for the most part, trending in the right direction outside of maybe with Javon Bullard at this point. You know, potentially getting Jaire Alexander back, potentially getting Romeo Doubs back if he can clear, you know, protocol in time. Evan Williams also going to be worth keeping an eye on here. What are you looking for as you maybe do start integrating Jaire Alexander, Edgerrin Cooper, and some of these players back into and Doubs, you know, back into the offense and defense as they come back from injury?
Yeah, the injury report, looking at it, I mean, we talked to Edgerrin Cooper yesterday in the locker room, and he said the plan was for him to play. It'll be his first game played in nearly a month. Last one was against Chicago, I believe. But then another person on that list, when you look at it, is Rashid Walker. He was downgraded to limited yesterday, which I think is something to watch for on that offensive line. And then hopefully, like you mentioned, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, your safety room is depleted right now. Hopefully Evan Williams continues to kind of go in the direction that he's going and plays on Sunday. Javon Bullard, we just haven't seen him at practice this week thus far. He hasn't participated. So the biggest thing is your safety room, and then obviously hopefully Jaire is ready to go too, because Seattle is no joke on offense when they like to kind of pick on the corners and pass the ball.
No, certainly. And I kind of wanted to lean into that one as well with Jaire Alexander, because his return to this defense, I think, cannot be understated. To me, he is one of those Jenga pieces that you cannot lose, because once you do, the foundation of everything sort of starts to crumble. And while I do think Jeff Hafley's done a pretty great job in trying to cover for him as best as possible, it just feels like he doesn't have as many defenses at his disposal, because he doesn't necessarily trust, I don't think, his man-to-man defense as much with Jaire Alexander out there. I think he doesn't feel quite as comfortable, especially in some high leverage situations, utilizing that single high safety as much, because you kind of want those two safeties over the top if you're not trusting your corners on the outside. It opens up the middle of the field more because you're focusing more on the outside. It's like, it just feels like one of those pieces that is sort of a linchpin to the Packers being successful. What can this return of Jaire Alexander mean for the Packers, and what do they need from him the remainder of the season to kind of get this defense back on track?
I think they just need that all-pro corner that he was. I mean, the swagger, the confidence, the guy who you're scared to throw his way to. And it's been a challenging last few seasons for Jaire. I get it. The injuries, fans upset that he's not on the field. He's, you know, getting paid a ton of money. Look, it's life in the NFL. And I think one thing I will say, I think Green Bay might have mishandled the way they brought Jaire back into the mix against Chicago on that snap count just to re-injure his PCL. Look, if you knew that, you know, he had a knee injury, why not sit him a little bit longer, you know? But nonetheless, he re-aggravates it, and now it's lingering as well. Look, Geno throws the ball more than pretty much every quarterback in this league. We know that. The Packers are going to need all the corner help they need. Jaire Alexander is the biggest piece of the puzzle in all of this. Jackson Smith and Jigba having one of the best sophomore years I can remember, and then DK Metcalf, a huge threat as well. It's been a mixed bag for Geno under center. When you look at his touchdown to interception ratio, but there's no question he rips it, and he's going to target some of, you know, Green Bay's weak links on defense and try to expose them. So hopefully having Jaire in the back in the mix can limit where Geno Smith goes with the football, whether that's, you know, in the middle of the field or, you know, outside on the corners. And hopefully Jaire just is back to shore some of those things up for Green Bay's sake.
Yeah, it would certainly be nice. And yeah, I think even more importantly, like, he's going to be somebody that's going to have to be playing really well come playoff time. So I don't know if there's going to be a little bit of rust with Jaire just coming back and not playing in so long, or if he's going to be able to play a full complement of snaps coming back from that injury. Those are going to be, you know, questions we're going to have to kind of wait to see the answers to until we get to this game. But they got to get him ramped up and playing his best football come January, when Green Bay's playing in those wild card divisional round games, hopefully championship games, hopefully Super Bowl game, hopefully, because he's going to be, again, such a huge part of that defense. Again, we're being joined by Kyle Malzahn, sports anchor reporter for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. You can find him on social media at Kyle Malzahn. All right, sticking with that cornerback position, we heard yesterday from Matt LaFleur that this rotation of Stokes and Valentine is going to continue. He does not see that changing. My guess this week is we're going to see no Javon Bullard, which will put hopefully Evan Williams, if he's good to go, and Xavier McKinney at safety, with Jaire Alexander outside at one spot, Keyshawn Nixon back in the slot, and then that rotation of Stokes and Valentine on the other side. Your thoughts on this continued rotation of Stokes and Valentine on the outside?
Yeah, I don't understand it as much as maybe some do. I don't see a world where Eric Stokes is on the team after this year, and I think Carrington Valentine will be much in their plans heading into next year. And I just, I was expecting to see a lot more of Valentine this year. I know he suffered an injury early on, and it kind of plagued him throughout. But he was a real fun storyline last year in his rookie season with Jair out. He played with so much swagger. He was confident. He had that one game, I think it was like against the Rams or something, where he just had a bunch of pass breakups when he stepped up and was needed. And it was fun. It was exciting. And you saw the potential of a guy who could be a really good story on this defense for years to come. And then, look, I get it. Stokes, great guy, fantastic locker room presence. But he's been one of the most underwhelming first-round draft picks that Goody has had in a very long time. And there's been, unfortunately, quite a bit more than I think the Packers would have liked from their first-rounders. But I just don't see Stokes in the foreseeable future in Green Bay's plans. And if that's the case, then why not play a guy like Carrington Valentine, who, quite frankly, might even be better than Eric Stokes at this point, and, you know, develop him into what you hope is a lockdown corner.
I've spent probably on the safe side probably about 17 segments discussing this exact topic, and I can't make heads or tails of it and why this continues to be a thing. But hopefully the Packers are right. They know more than I do, and hopefully Stokes can go and tear it up all of a sudden out of nowhere in year four at the end of his fourth year in Green Bay. That would be the most Eric Stokes thing ever, is like all of a sudden right. He goes on like this generational run over like the last like 3 weeks of his career, and then of course like earns a big contract Devondre Campbell style, and then we'll see. You know what? That'd be great if he plays really well the remainder of this year, but we shall see. I'm not exactly holding my breath for it one way or the other. All right, as you get into this Packers game, I think they are down, unfortunately, from 98% to 97% chance to make the playoffs after the Rams win last night. But in all likelihood, Green Bay is going to end up with the wild card position, either the 5, the 6, or the 7. Assuming that they do, of course, make the playoffs, what is your biggest goal for the Packers in this game as they try to get ramped up for the playoffs in this final stretch here?
Yeah, I think you're really looking at the offense and just being the explosive offense that they have come to be within the last few weeks. I know Green Bay, that they lost to Detroit, you know, on Thursday night, and everybody, you know, with the division game and how big it was, and it was prime time, and people might have been disappointed, but the Lions are the toughest team in the NFL for a reason. They're really good, and the Packers hung with them and still scored 30 points on them. I mean, the last 3 weeks, the Packers have scored 30 or more points in each of their games. During the Seahawks win streak, where they've won 4 in a row now, their defense has been number one in the league, limiting teams to just 15.5 points a game on average. The Packers, they're peaking right now at the right time. You know, ever since their bye week, they've been able to score more effectively in the red zone. They've run the ball better than any other team, I feel like, in the NFL. And now they have an identity, right? It's get Josh Jacobs the ball, let him work, open up the field. And we've seen Jordan Love come to his own in this later half of the season. But nonetheless, it's making sure the offense sets the tone early in this game and just keeps on rolling. Because when they're humming, oh, man, it's pretty.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen this offense yet quite functioning at full capacity. And if all of a sudden they can get there and again, hit their stride at the right time, I still think there's a level that this offense can reach that, you know, again, maybe borderlines on unstoppable at times, but they just got to get everything kind of clicking at the right time. And hopefully they can figure out that formula in these last few games here. All right, as we look at Packers, the Seahawks, again, being joined by Kyle Malzahn, Sports Anchor reporter for WFRV TV in Green Bay. As we look forward to this game, what are your keys to this game for the Packers to come out with a win?
I think it's going to be run the ball, set the tone early. Josh Jacobs, do what he's done all season long. He scored 7 touchdowns in a 12-day span when the Packers had that 3-game weird schedule, which is crazy to think about. And then Green Bay's defense. I mean, Geno Smith is going to throw a lot. He's going to throw it to the middle of the field, something that the Packers were exposed a little bit in Detroit on Thursday night. I think Jared Goff was just dinking and dunking and picking Green Bay's defense apart. So if they can shore those things up, and make it hard on Geno in the passing game, I think that's going to bode well for Green Bay. They have to do it now, but I think the formula for success is there. Let's see if Jeff Hafley's group can take them to, lead them to a victory.
Yeah, with Edgerrin Cooper and Jaire Alexander coming back, you're hoping for this defensive backfield to show some signs of improvement, and especially over the middle of the field on defense. And it's a tough matchup. Geno Smith can sling it with the best of them. He might throw you a ball every now and again, might give you an opportunity right. for it, but those wide receivers are really talented on the outside, and it's going to be a really tough matchup regardless. So I'm excited to see how they fare in this one. You've mentioned Josh Jacobs a couple times, so this might be the answer, but who's kind of your player to watch in this game?
I mean, Josh Jacobs, it's hard to miss him on the field the way he's been scoring on the on the field. But I'm going to say Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is playing his best brand of football right now. He has, four straight games without throwing an interception, I believe, and a passer rating of like 100 in each of them. So I think my player to watch would be Jordan Love and just continue to play clean football, continue to make strides in the right direction. It looks like that injury is well past him. He's looked and felt more healthy in the pocket and has looked himself like the latter half of last year. I think the player for me to watch is Jordan Love in the pocket to just keep up with a Seattle offense that might score a ton of points out there in one of the toughest environments in all of football.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for this game. I do think it's one of the more underrated matchups of the season so far, and I think it's going to be a really tough Seahawks team on the road. And as we kind of look at that, all right, Kyle, give me the good news, the bad news. What do you got for me? What's your prediction for this game?
Decade, but I do think they come away with the win. I think they win at 28-24. It's going to be tight. I think Brandon McManus is his leg might come down to a game-winning kick, but I think the Packers win 28-24. I think it's a preview to what we see in the playoffs, and it's just the first victory of the two for Green Bay.
I absolutely love it. Kyle, you're the best. What do you got coming out on WFRV? Where can we find you on social media? Plug anything you want to plug on the way out, my friend.
Yeah, you can find me at Kyle Malzahn on Twitter, on everything, on every social media app. You can watch my high school show on Saturday nights from 10:30 to 11. It's basically like SportsCenter, but Northeast Wisconsin, high school basketball, wrestling, hockey, you name it. And then, of course, Green and Gold Game Day, we do a Packers pregame show, 10:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can join me and my sports director, Burke Griffin, in set and live reports throughout every single Packer game. So appreciate you, Andy, for having me on, and it was fun talking some pack with you.
Yeah, likewise. You always kill it, my friend. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Kyle Malzahn, and we will definitely be having you back on, Kyle. This is absolutely fantastic. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy game day. For everyone else, when we come back, we're going to be going to those phones. Like I mentioned, we've got a fun segment coming up on the first part, so get your phones ready. 414-677-1250 on the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.